If you would, turn to your Bibles in Psalms 149. I want to talk to you this morning about having a life of beauty, a beautiful life. You know, we don't think about life as beauty, and you think about count your blessings, and we do really need to think about what God has done every day, and you go home and maybe tonight, this afternoon for lunch, you sit there and just give some thanks to what God has done. You say, well, preacher, I just can't thank much. But you woke up this morning, you're breathing, your heart's beating. Listen, you got family still alive. And listen, God's good. God is good, folks. We just sometimes we need to quit focusing on self and the negativities and look at things around us. That all things are good. It comes from God. Everything good from God, doesn't it? And He's a good God. He gave us a place we can worship, and air conditioning. And listen, people are getting saved. He's working in our lives. And it's a blessing, it really is. In Psalms 149, look at verse 1. We're going to look at the verses 1 through 4 this morning. It says, praise ye the Lord. Sing unto the Lord a new song, and His praise in the congregation of saints. Let Israel rejoice in the day that made him. Let the children of Zion be joyful in their king. Let them praise His name in the dance. Let them sing praises unto Him with a tremble and a heart. For the Lord hath pleasure in His people. He will beautify the meek with salvation. Let the saints be joyful in glory. Let them sing aloud upon their beds. And verse 4 is the text I want to speak to this morning about this. It says the Lord is take pleasure in His people, but He says He will beautify the meek with salvation. And that's the text, the kind of section I want to talk to you this morning about. He will beautify. Listen, life is a beauty. Listen, He wants to beautify us. He wants to change us from what we are to make us glorious and beautiful. Let's pray. Father, we come to you this morning, and Lord, you know this hearts are troubles. Hearts are being heavy, Father, with heaviness of things in life that we come through. And now, God, help us to just quieten our spirit, Father, and then help us to kind of calm down and focus in hearing your word. Now, Father, I ask you to bless the reading your word, singing of giving thanks, Lord, and God, that we sing unto you in praise. And because, Father, you're worthy of everything, Father. You're a great God. You created everything, Father, and you give us so much. And Lord, the worst days is really a blessed day that you have given us, Father, because you always give us something good. You never withhold no benefits from us, Father. Now, Father, if someone this morning is here is lost and not sure of their salvation, God, I pray you bring conviction upon them, help them see the need and importance of salvation. I pray that they won't forsake the calling and turn to you, Father. But, Lord, if the Christians are born again, bought by your blood, Lord, they have that peace, assurance of their salvation, Father, I pray that we can look at these scriptures and think about them, Father, how you want to change us and make us more like you, Father, to cleanse us, Lord, that we will be beautiful in your eyes, Father. Now, Lord, speak to the hearts and you know the needs. And Lord, meet with us this morning. We love you. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, it says here that the Lord taketh pleasure in His people. He will beautify the meek with salvation. You all remember the TV shows they used to have? I don't know if they even have them today or not, but the houses, they'll kind of make over the houses. You know how they'll take an old house and they build it and make it really nice. And they do also for women. You've seen, I'm not sure when that was. I remember seeing those women that come in there. They were just ugly. They needed some help and they kind of put some makeup on, do the hair. It didn't do much, but they make it magnified. You know what I'm talking about, Brother Frank? They needed a lot of help. The old saying is, the born need to be painted, paint it, right? Well, they needed a lot of pain. But, you know, the thing is, went through that extreme from where it was, and they work on that. You know, and there's a lot of women, they do that. We make jokes about women, you know, how they go, my wife goes to a beauty salon or something like that, get her fingernails, whatever it does. You know, people make jokes. And there's a man that says this, my wife spent 4 hours in the beauty shop, beauty shop the other day. The man says, wow, that's a long time for a lady to be in the beauty shop. He goes, yeah, that was just getting an estimate from her. You know, we all make a kind of a joke and funny and all that. But, you know, I would never, baby, make a joke about you like that. That's something Brother Benny would do, baby, not me. No, no, but, you know, the thing is, God speaks about beauty, but it doesn't come from the outside. It comes from the inside. God really changes the man. Listen, He takes what a dirty heart and makes it clean. Listen, He takes a disturbed heart and He gives it peace. He takes a dull life and listen, He gives it abundant life and make it a radiant life. God can and wants to beautify our life. He does want to change us. The thing is, we always try to work on the outside. Listen, I mean people you've seen of men or women are beautiful, or you say, look, that's a beautiful woman or a handsome man, but yet you meet them and they're just very ugly, they're disgusting, you can't stand them. I've seen some women that really just seem ugly. I mean, they did how were you looking at them, but they're very kind and sweet, very nice people, like me. You know, ugly on the outside, very sweet on the outside. You know, y'all are killing me today. But, you know, God does do a stream makeover. He does work in people's lives because we are all ugly on the inside. And He takes and He changes his man. He takes an old drunkard and make him clean. Listen, He takes a man that doesn't love his wife to start loving his wife, and a wife who is not faithful makes us faithful. God changes lives, folks. God's a really God, but He works on the inside. God, it says, He will beautify. Listen, He gives us God's or divine intention. He will beautify. He shows or gives us desire that God wants to do is make us beautiful. He wants to cleanse us. So listen, God created the world and it was beautiful. In Genesis chapter 1, you read it, it says five times of the creation, He says it was good. It was beautiful. And the sixth day, He says it was very good. It was very beautiful. Listen, God desires what He made. It was make it beautiful. But sin came and marred it and destroyed it. That's what sin does. It brings separation. That's what death is. It's separation. Listen, God. Listen, man makes something. God has something beautiful. Man destroys it. God wants to beautify us again. Listen, He wants to see that sin that has been marred, destroyed, or ruined and polluted, and beautify. Makes it clean. Make it pretty. He will beautify. There's a love and beauty that man shares with God. We share this beauty with God. Think about it. When man sees something beautiful, what he does, he takes it for himself and then he wants to share it with others. And I think about that where, how God does that in our lives. I remember I met my wife, we got married, and I gave her an engagement ring and we went to church. And listen, she showed that ring to all her girlfriends and the pastor's wife, and she was showing it. It wasn't nothing magnifying or some great ring. It was just a simple ring and a little diamond. But listen, to her, it was beautiful. She wanted to share it with others, but it was hers. That was, you know, hey, I was surprised to her. Amen. I know it's surprising to you, but listen, she felt sorry for me probably, but listen, I was surprised to her. Listen, when I got married to her, that was my wife. I saw something beautiful. When I first saw her in church, I saw that girl. I said, that girl's mine. I want her. Some boy tried to talk to her. That kind of radiated a different attitude in my life. Listen, you're not going to talk to her. That's mine. But I want to show this is my wife. Kind of radiated, show the goodness of what God. That's what we do as men. We do like to see something beautiful and we want to show it off. Ladies, don't you get flowers and you want to put a display? And listen, Miss Kristen, her husband bought her flowers. Kind of look what my husband gave. Put it on Facebook. Everybody see. This is mine. And my husband gave me that. That's what we like to do. We share it with God, don't we? Listen, God. Listen, God doesn't say man shares the love and beauty with God. God's preparing a place for us in heaven for those that loves Him. Listen, He spares no cost. He spares no cost. Listen, the Bible speaks how splendid and glorious heaven will be. The Bible says, "Eye has not seen, the ear of heard the things He has prepared for those that love Him." Listen, He spares no cost. He speaks of the pearly gates as one pearl. There's 12 of them. It's solid pearl. Listen, He speaks of the road, the street of the foyer area, whatever the gathering. He says, pure gold. It's transparent. There's no defilement what God has prepared for us. Listen, the foundation, the city has 12 foundations, a solid gem. And it gives you different types of gem that I can't even pronounce. But it's got to be beautiful because I can't even say those words. That's how beautiful they are. You know what I'm talking about, Brother Ray, don't you? They're great. But listen, He spares no cost. Listen, there's a loss of beauty what man sees in life. Sin is destroyed, which God has beautified. Listen, sin has took the paradise that Adam and Eve lived in and turned it into a wilderness. Listen, roses now contains thorns, and lions that was once dorsal, what you could lay beside now are meat-eater animals that desires our flesh. Oh, sin, remember what God told Adam? What hast thou done? Oh, sin, what hast thou done to earth? The earth is under a curse. But God still wants to give us give unto man that beauty for ashes. That's all we can give. He gives that oil for joy. One guy writes, the beauty for ashes, oil for joy for mourning, the garments of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Listen, you gotta, he wants to give you that praise. He got the garment of heaviness and this in life. He says, give it to me and I'll give you the praise. Listen, your mourning is coming. I'll give you that oil of joy. He wants to beautify us and change our lives. This is a great God. The God's intention again is to this is to beautify us, folks. 2 Peter 3:9 says, "The Lord is not slight concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but long suffering towards not willing that any should perish, but should come to repentance." Listen, He doesn't want nobody to go to hell. He doesn't want nobody to be sorry. He sees the wickedness and the vileness. Think about what goodness you got and what blessings you can offer to God. It's worthless. It's defiled. Your righteousness is filthy rags to God. And He says, "I will take that, what you got, and throw it away and beautify and make you something better that you can offer to God, be blessing." I mean, I've led this month, I was able to talk to and see six, seven, eight professions of faith. Now, it bothers me that I don't have them come down the aisle, but I thank God that He allowed me to share the gospel to those people. It's a blessing. It's an honor. I can't win nobody. I can't make them get saved, but I was willing to be used of God in Him. He takes this old flesh of mine and this old wicked heart, and He changes and He wants me to pour my burden on their lives. What a God that changes people. A mouth that used to be so vulgar gives praise to God. What a great God. He wants to beautify us. We see God's intention, yet we see that He says He will beautify. Look at the verse 4. It says, He will beautify the meek with salvation. We see God's provision, that divine provision. Listen, it's with salvation. God wants and desires salvation. And because the sin is destroying lives. I mean, it's just strong. We're talking about Cain and Abel in the teens class. And you think what Cain did. Listen, he carried that philosophy of works and he went on and built a city on that same philosophy of work salvation. Think about souls of men have gone to hell because of him. And it's still going today. The Bible teaches this call or this to salvation is to bring man back to Him. God wants to save and transform our lives. Turn with me to Acts chapter 4, verse 12. Acts chapter 4, verse 12. Now, the Holy Psalms, we'll go back to there. But I want to talk to you about how salvation is wrapped up in a person. Listen, His provision, but it's wrapped up in a person. It's not wrapped up in our works of our own righteousness, which we have done. But salvation is worked up in a person. Acts chapter 4, verse 12 says, "Neither is there salvation in any other. For there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." Listen, this is wrapped up so much, it's beyond exclusion. Neither is there salvation in the other. It's beyond exclusion. This is Christ alone. It's Christ alone that cleanses. It's Christ alone that forgives. It's Christ alone that pardons. It's Christ alone that gives eternal salvation. It's Him. Listen, the value of Him is not be negotiated. You can't negotiate with Him. It's just Him alone. There's nothing else. The preference ain't a preference of this or that. It's Him alone. It's Christ. It says, neither is there salvation in any other. If anybody says, "What about this?" or "My salvation being a good person," they lied. Because there's neither salvation in the other. Listen, it's very narrow. Narrow's the way. It's because it's truth. Lies broad that leads to destruction. Thousands of people. It makes me mad about these churches in this community. They're preaching a lie of works. They're sending all these people to hell. They're good people just like me and you. They're trying to live a life and trying to, but they're lying preachers are sending them to a destination called hell. Because there's neither salvation in the other. Listen, it's not just beyond exclusion, it's beyond expression. None other name. None other name under heaven given among men. That means there's no Savior but Jesus. There's no one else. Ain't it so simple? You know, I preach, and it's like I repeat the same thing because there ain't nothing else but Christ. Just different avenues to Christ. And everybody has a different road, but it all goes to Christ. All's got the same testimony. Undone, wicked, vile. But it's through Christ. He's the gate. Listen to me. No other salvation but Jesus. Listen, if you reject Jesus Christ, there's no salvation. There's nothing. You have it and you chunked it. You chunk what was so valuable. It's Christ alone. Listen, no man ever came or can come to the Father but by Him. He says, I am the way and the truth and the life. I mean, you really kind of think about it. He says, there's none other name under heaven given among men. There's no other way. He said, this is the only way. And that's what Peter's trying to tell to the Pharisees. Listen, he said, this is it. There's no other way. There's nothing else. That's why they were so bold in what they said and stand for. It ain't this and that. It's Christ alone. Well, this is wrapped up in a person because it's beyond exclusion, it's beyond expression, but it's beyond exemption. It's the wherefore by we must be saved. Do you hear the imperative? We must be saved. This is an absolute must. It's not if you have a choice you like to. You have a choice. But he's saying it's not a choice. You need it. If you don't take Christ, then there's condemnation. Let's look at this simple verse here. Look at John chapter 3, verse 18. I'll read it and you have to turn to it. He may put it on behind me, but John chapter 3, verse 18 says, He that believeth on Him, talking about Jesus Christ, is not condemned. But he that believeth not is condemned already. Then it says, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Verse 36, He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. And he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. It ain't you're going to get a wrath of God on you. You already have it on you. You're already condemned. That's when he says this is it's beyond exemption. It's imperative. You must. He told Nicodemus that you need to get saved. You must be born again. It's an urgency, folks. And you sit here this morning and say, you know, I'm not sure of my salvation. Just like my little girl, I love my little girl and I care for every one of them just the same. And that's it doesn't matter which one they are. They all have different personalities, but I love them all. But it burned my heart. But this is, she called to me and said, Daddy, I'm not sure. I'm not saved. I got to get it settled. And I said, well, thinking, well, you pray. It didn't matter the prayer. If she don't have it right, she need to get it right. Listen, how rude of me to say, no, you'll be okay because you said the prayer. That's a lie. It's the blood of Christ. I wonder how many people in this room, because you know I always said, oh, somebody in this room could be lost. Somebody, and it was my little girl who didn't even know it. You didn't even know it. Could be somebody this morning. Lost. Don't have that peace. Oh, don't let pride stop you. You come. What about people out this community lost? You know, Christians, is it really imperative that people be born again? Is it really a must? Does it burn within you because you don't tell? Don't you need to tell that co-worker and the people you work with? Oh, my friend, it's imperative. It's not a choice that you want. It's imperative. You must. You got to get saved. There's a wrath of God that's on you and you're already condemned. Stop. Stop. But here we see, go to Philippians chapter 2. Book of Philippians chapter 2. We see that, listen, I'm talking about the salvation, it's with salvation. Listen, the salvation is worked in, it's that the person is Jesus Christ. But here in Philippians chapter 2, verse 12, he's talking church of Philippi. Listen, this church is a good church, this church is a valuable church. Listen, he's a man of God, and he writes unto him, verse 12, says, Wherefore, my beloved, he's talking to the Christian, he's talking to the one who's been bought by the blood of Christ, as you have always obeyed, not in my presence only, but he says, how much more in my absence? He says, listen, when the preacher's gone, you're going soul winning. When the preacher's gone, you're going to prayer meeting. When the preacher's gone, you're still sticking by the stuff and living for God because he's the ultimate part. He's living for him. But he says, work out. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. It's not talking about getting work salvation. He says, what he's worked in, work it out. What he's worked out in your life. He's changed your life. He speaks of sanctification, what it means. That salvation comes, the word from sanctification, set apart. I was undone, I'm separated from God, and I'm in sin, I'm condemned, or, you know what I'm saying, I have the wrath of God upon me. He takes me by the blood of Christ and cleanses me. That's the atonement. And he puts me in his hand, he sets me apart from the world unto him. I'm in him, I'm in Christ. Listen, I'm set apart. That's what salvation is. But listen, once I'm in Christ, he's not done with me. Remember, he wants to beautify you. He wants to make you beautiful. He wants to do that extreme makeover because we're all ugly. In that sin. And we were all created in good, but now listen, we're all vile and wicked. He said, I want to change you. He wants to change you. Many progressing Christians live a life and trying to ups and downs and on and off. That's the problem. You're not on and off. You're supposed to stay in and stick it in. Listen, don't quit. No matter how tough. Job didn't quit. He continued on. And God blessed him. Paul describes this Christian as an in and out experience. What Christ has been received must be released. Listen, what you have received in Christ, Christians, you must be released. This is where the beauty really starts working in. We are undone and cleansed. And He creates a new creature. We're dead in trespass and sin. And He brings us back to life. We call upon Him and He saves us. But He wants that we need to release that and get it out of our lives by according to His will, not my will, but His will. And this is where everybody starts messing up. This is what I want to do, preacher. Church is important, but this is more important. Bible reading is good, but that TV is more important. That phone is more important. Prayer time is good for them, but not for me. No. It was good for Jesus Christ. It's good for us. Listen, He was perfect and righteous, did not need, but we are not. We need it more than ever. Listen, salvation consists in the inward and outward work. There's something that must be worked up because it was worked in. Listen, the work that God has done in our hearts, folks, must be worked out from within. Let me give you a kind of illustration on that, about working out your own salvation. Imagine a miner. The man has a mine. Imagine you got a mine and you have that mine. You know, in Alabama, we have mines. We have coal mines. We have ore mines. And they say in the city of Birmingham, it's like a honeycomb underneath the ground. So many mines underneath there. If an earthquake took the whole city of Birmingham, they say it would probably crash down. But there's so many mines, and why are they mining so much? There's value in the coal. You know, a coal train is about $100,000 worth of value. About 12 to 15,000 tons of coal they transport from like West Virginia, Birmingham to the coast, and they dump it in the ocean there in the bays. But listen, it's worth a lot of money, and they mine it out. Listen, when you know you used to have a diamond mine or a gold mine, you see something of value, you try to draw it out, don't you? You see the value. See what Christ's done in our life. He wants you to work out you and listen, get Him out. How can you shine the light if you hinder that light with that old man? Remember Lazarus when God called him forth and brought him back to life and he said, he's wrapped up like a mummy. He said, take the dead man's clothes off. That's what we need to work those things out. In our lives, and you know, I used to smoke, and I don't smoke no more. I used to cuss, but I don't cuss no more. I used to drink, but I don't drink no more. I used to love my wife like I ought to, but I love my wife more than I ought to. Didn't love my kids like I ought to, but God taught me working out. See what God is trying to work in your life to make you beautiful. The problem is, you think you're pretty and you're not. You need to work that out, Christ, and let Him shine His light and make that beautiful in our lives. It's just make maybe a fruitful Christian life. Think of the farmer. He plows in the field and he cultivates that field. Why? To bring a great harvest. Listen, how can we be productive in our Christ? We're not working some things out in our life. Listen, how it be? It says, study to show thyself approved. Listen, he that winneth souls is wise. How is he wise? Because he won a soul? No, because he took the Word of God and he could use the Word of God and he shared his burden with Christ and he was being wise with Scriptures to tell others about Christ. Work those out, be fruitful. That's what the Bible speaks of being fruitful, is winning souls to man. But he said, work it out with fear and trembling. Not to be worried about losing our salvation. It's I'm more worried about that. I'm sealed to the day of redemption. I'm His. If you send me to hell, that's where Jesus is going to be. Where He is, that's where I'm at, because I'm in Christ. But folks, I'm fearful of not being used, being wasteful, living a wasteful life. That's working out with fear and trembling. Listen, don't be flippant. Don't be aimless in your life. Listen, we have a process of salvation. We see the intention, the provision, but we see man's condition. He says He will beautify the meek with salvation. The meek. You know, everybody kind of, I heard a guy say to me, I was a dispatcher, he said, you can't be a meek to be a dispatcher. He thought meek is weak. But let me give you an example of a meek. You always picture a meek is this. We should have an old mare, Tennessee Walker, 2 years old. She was strong and she was massive. And you just couldn't jump on her. She would go wild and crazy. But listen, to break her or to meek her for a child to ride, she had to be meek. Where she's, listen, all that strength, all that power there, but she had to be meek where she's under control that even a child could ride that horse. Listen, God wants to take us and work in our lives to meek us. Listen, the meek, listen, He said that He will beautify the meek. Listen, the man's condition to be beautiful, He takes it and He makes him meek. Think about our nation. It will not be blessed for the nation humble themselves before God, is it not? And say, God, here am I. I surrender all to You. That's being meek. Where I have all the power by choice if I choose to do the will of God in my life. The pride, folks, is what's the problem. Pride is the rock that sends many stumble to hell. Many people go to hell because they're too prideful to come down the altar and ask God to save them. They're too prideful to bow their head and say, God, You're right, I'm wrong. Hey, Cain was too prideful and he died and went to a devil's hell. They say, oh, he not just died himself, but he led all the others behind him. Pride. It's like the devil used to like a net that a fisherman throws out to draw all the fish in. Next, probably the worst thing is procrastination, ain't it? Go and do it tomorrow. But tomorrow never gets here. But listen, the man's condition, he must humble enough to admit that he needs salvation, needs Christ. Man will never get saved until he humbles enough and says, you know, all right, Christ, I need You. You know, I've heard people talk about getting saved and they go through that plan. You know, number one, you got to realize they're all sinners. Number two, they realize that you're a sinner or that Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sins and you realize that you deserve to go to hell. Listen, if I don't really think I'm lost, I don't really think I'm deserved to go to hell, why would I really call on the Christ? Why would I beg for His mercy? Until I really realize I'm guilty. And realize that there's no hope in myself. Listen, salvation is not a little quote you say, boom, boom, boom. You really are talking to people, and so is the man trying to understand the need. But listen, if you don't admit it, you will not get it. Because anybody cannot come to Christ without admitting they need Christ. You must humble yourself to submit to the will of God. God doesn't burglarize us. He doesn't force us. He calls upon you, but He does not fail. He persuades you. He convicts you, but He will not make you. You must humble. The only extreme makeover your person has, to have an extreme makeover that the person needs, is to realize that he's a sinner and His will. You know, it applies to two things to work out. One, I need to get saved. I need to humble myself, realize that I need salvation. I really got to humble, don't I? Say, God, You're right. My works and abilities are filthy rags. Nothing I can do. Then the Christian gets saved and God works a mighty miracle salvation. He takes the old dirty, remember, the dull heart to make it, listen, valuable. Listen, he takes that dirty heart and makes it clean and He changes it. Then He says, let me work some things out in your life. But you got to be humble. You got to submit to the will of God. It's our choice. Listen, the will, He will beautify the meek with salvation. To have a life of beauty, His intention is to beautify us. He wants to save you, or He wants to work in your life to take out. Listen, how can I have abundance of life? By abiding in Him. By working out some things in my life and getting the Word of God and working some things. And you know what, God, this is what You want me to do and I'll do it. Be committed. It's amazing to me when people get saved and they will not put church first. And yet Christ died for the church. He shed His blood for the church. He said, don't forsake it. And yet we're so important in everything else but what Christ wants. I want a beautiful life. I want this fake makeover on the outside. I want that makeover on the inside. It's radiating. People see the glory of Christ. I want to walk close with God. When people see me, they don't see me. They see the glory of Christ as You see Moses and then light shine upon him. Is that what you want? Do you want that beauty? Are you satisfied with an old barn that's just falling apart? Listen, but it's the meek, not the pride. God resists the proud, but giveth grace to the humble. If you want a beautiful life, you come. There's a guy says, a policeman once asked the thief, why did you steal that purse? He answered, he said, I was not feeling well, so I thought a change would do me good. Listen, change in your own life don't change it, does it? It's Christ that changes our life. It's Christ that makes it. No, he said, therefore, a man being Christ is a new creature. Old things are passed away, but all things become new. The question is this morning is this. Are you saved? Do you know 100% sure you're going to heaven? Are you willing to say, God, here am I. All the good and all the abilities, what I have is worthless. I humble myself down to you and say, oh God, I need your blood. I need your cleansing. About Christians, about the believers that have been called, been washed by the blood of Christ. Would you be willing to say, God, here am I. Work out me, and that's because there's some ugly things in my life and sins in my life. I need you to help. Help me work those things out, God, what you've worked in, so I can get those things out. So people be magnified and see your goodness and your glory. Because is it not imperative for a man to be born again? Is it not imperative that a man must be born again? Is it not imperative that a man must be born again? Is it not imperative? Is it not the most important thing for a man to be born again? Folks, God is calling. It's your choice to respond. As everybody stand, heads bowed, eyes closed. He said, He will beautify. He said that sin has came to this world and made it ugly and destroyed it. But He says, my intention is to take that, what He's created, and make it more beautiful. But it's up to you. Don't be prideful. Humble yourself. Don't go in the way of Cain. And come to Him this morning as the piano plays.